I've asked Saul to stay up for one more question. How many of you are either the oldest brother or oldest sister in your family?
Okay.
Oh boy. Okay, thank you. You're in for it today. And I confess that I am the oldest of three brothers, all right? And there are times when I suffer from OBS, okay? Older brother syndrome, or older brother sickness. Oldest brothers and sisters have a tendency to get their way more often than their younger siblings, just because they're bigger, at least at first, because they have more time to develop, and they are just bigger, and that's a great advantage. You can get your own way because you're physically doing things that your younger siblings cannot. You control more things because you have more experience. And usually, at least in my experience, I found that the younger brothers just let you have your way because it's easier and it's less painful. Okay. I like that advantage, okay? And I'm still, to some extent, I like being larger, if not taller, than my brothers, although it's getting harder and harder these days to get my own way. Older brothers don't have the power that parents have, but we can exert a fair bit of influence and authority. There are lots of informal rules in our families, and oftentimes we who are the oldest feel that we need to be the enforcers. Okay. When people ask us about things that happened in your family way back when you were kids, usually we think that we are the authority. There's an element of control than the others because we are older. And because we have to set a good example, we have to be more patient, we have to be more considerate than our younger brothers, because we're supposed to show them how they are to live. And when younger brothers or sisters grow up and get better at anything than us older brothers, we get jealous, because we like our special status of firstborn. Part of OBS is that feeling that we are special and at least a little better than our younger family members. And sometimes we resent younger brothers or sisters getting away with some stuff that we could have never gotten away with when we were their age. Today we're going to have a parable about Jesus, probably the most famous story that Jesus tells, next to the Good Samaritan. And the prodigal son, the younger one, has already gotten enough attention, okay? So we're going to talk about the older brother in the story, okay, this time. And I want to begin with the first couple of verses in the chapter 15 and then go on to 25 to 32. One day, and it's very important, we know this story, okay? I'm not going to probably tell you anything new about the story, but we need to recognize some things that are going on around it. One day when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. Rocket scientists, okay, to figure out which brother is the Pharisee and the religious leaders. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to know that the prodigal son is actually those outcasts and those tax collectors. So Jesus is speaking this story to two distinct groups in his audience, and they each cheer for different people. Unfortunately for the older brothers, for the religious leaders, they end up with a person that doesn't end up being quite the hero they hoped for. Okay, now, we know the story. The younger brother runs away with everything, and the older brother stays. In the meantime, the son has grown in his resentment to his brother. He's taken off. He's deserted the family. He's disrespected the family. That's where the kids get this diss business. You dissed me, man. Okay? It's disrespect. It's short for disrespect. And that older brother would stew about that most every day. He thought about that. Well, when the younger brother comes to his senses, comes home, his father welcomes him in a way that even the neighbors don't understand. And the son, who has been faithful, has been out in the fields. In the meantime, the older brother was out in the field. On his way back home, when he came close to the house, he heard music and dancing. That must have been, "What's going on?" "Your brother's come back home," and the servant answered, "and your father has killed the prize calf because he got him back safe and sound." The older brother was so angry that he would not go in the house. And so his father came out to beg him to come in. But he spoke back to his father. Look, all these years I've worked for you like a slave and never disobeyed your orders. And what have you given me? Not even a goat, so that I can have a feast with my friends. But this son of yours has wasted all your property on prostitutes, and when he came back home, you killed the prize calf for him. My son, the father answered, you are always here with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be happy, because your brother was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wow. The older brother may have had a deadly case of OBS. Anger had twisted his heart out of joint. And the amazing thing is that he appears to be even more angry with his father. The whole thing, he wouldn't come into the party. And so that forces the father to come, the host of the party, to leave the party, to go out and tend to this pouting brother. In a condemning and disrespectful tone of voice, he sassed his father. Look, all these years I've worked for you like a slave, never disobeyed you. And what have you given me? Not even a goat. But this son of yours, because he cannot quite acknowledge that it's his brother, this son of yours wasted all your property. And on he went. Where did all this venom come from? This negative energy. He was jealous of his brother. And he felt he'd been treated unfairly compared to his brother, and he was the older brother after all. Where is justice in welcoming back someone who has brought such disgrace to the family? He, as the older brother, had been disrespected. And he was so angry about that he didn't recognize in his words his own disrespect for his father. He was blinded to the source of his anger, this anger which had its source in self-righteousness. Now, self-righteousness is a tricky beast. You can find plenty of reasons to justify your feelings when you're really mad. When somebody has done something that's obviously wrong, it's easy to get up on our high horses. It looked like his father was going to let him get away with his irresponsibility again. And I can hardly imagine that this little brother hadn't pulled this kind of stunt before, and that the older brother had just had to bite his tongue. His self-righteousness fueled his angry words to his father. We can always come up with this kind of argument to justify our behavior when our actions are compared to others. Mark Twain once said, nothing so needs reforming as other people's habits. And this one I love, it's an anonymous quote, don't judge others simply because they sin differently from you. For us older brothers, it's hard not to cling to self-righteousness and self-righteous suffering. Oh, especially the suffering. There's a sweetness in that. For us suffering from OBS, it's hard to let go of the resentment that grows from when we judge others. Resentment that blinds us to the truth about others, but it is also the truth about ourselves that we can no longer see. When we live in that kind of resentment, we're lost. Resentment disguises itself as righteousness, and it gives the appearance of a holiness. And this is what Jesus was addressing in that audience. Not only those who were obviously sinning, poisoning them. They were poisoning the relationship. They were poisoning themselves. It's an ugly system, an ugly symptom of OBS, this resentment. And the older son had wounds that were hidden from him. Charles Allen wrote, the hardest people to reach with the love of God are not bad people. They know they're bad and they don't have an excuse. The hardest ones to reach for God are the self-righteous people. When we look to our own righteousness or our own goodness for people to evaluate us and for our salvation, we fool ourselves because we are displacing God from his rightful position in our lives. We are displacing God with our own egos. We are displacing God with our needs. Many people would be scared if they look in the mirror and saw not their faces, but their true character. Because when you judge another, you don't define them as much as you define yourself. Now, I want you to listen closely, in case you haven't been listening closely. I'm not saying that the older brother was wrong for being angry, okay? That sounds like the opposite of just what I said. But he was not wrong for being angry. He had all sorts of reasons, good and bad, for his anger at the situation. But he was wrong for letting his anger lead him into sin. Paul wrote, "Give the devil a chance." The brother's ongoing anger separated him from his brother, who he could barely acknowledge as his brother, and it also kept him from his father, because he was critical of the unfairness that he perceived in the attention that his father was giving his younger brother. His self-righteous resentment kept him from understanding the depths of his father's love for each of them, not just for the younger brother, but for him. He misunderstands his father and believes that he's only worth something when he serves and is obedient. That's what makes him worthy of his father. He doesn't understand that the underlying relationship is what his father is trying to tell him. Son, you are with me always. You are here alongside me. Your loyalty and obedience to me is not like that of a slave, because all that I have is yours. We share this life together. Surely, this is the kind of love that you truly desire. All this was lost on the older son, who could only feel worthy because of what he could do to please his father. He could not see that his father had been heartbroken when his younger brother had left, despite the circumstances. His heart was broken, and now his father was brokenhearted again. Now, the father never said, "You know, I'm happy about what your brother did." He never said that. And he said, "Well, it's really okay what happened." He didn't say that either. Or he didn't tell his brother, "Cut him a little slack." He said, "Be glad with me. Be glad for me. Be glad for yourself, because your brother was dead and now he's alive." Isn't that reason enough? He was lost, but now he has been found. The older brother did not know that it was actually he that was lost. He was the prodigal son. We don't know if he ever came around to recognize what his father was feeling or to what his father was telling him. We don't know if he went back into the party at all. The unfairness had prompted his resentment, and only forgiveness would allow him to accept that brother as his brother and to accept his father not as a slave master, but as a father who loved him dearly. It is the only cure for our older brother sickness or syndrome. It's to recognize the symptoms of the older brother when they attack us, when we become like the older brother in the story. He didn't recognize it. He was his father. But when we recognize our own tendency towards self-righteousness, may it be a warning to us. And may we stop for a moment and think, what is it? Where did that come from? Where did that energy emerge? We are ready to forgive when we recognize that this is something that is not part of us. It has descended upon us, this self-righteousness or being righteous on our own. This is something that we need to recognize before we can discover the goodness in our brother again. Because we need to be able to forgive the brother in order to overcome our OBS. And we equally need to forgive ourselves. It's not a sin to be angry. The sin is what we do with it. The sin is how we allow it to control us. The sin is that we let it control us. But if we let God's already present forgiveness to bring healing, then we can be cured. And then you and I are able to join the Father and the brother in the everlasting party. Parables end up in a... So many of Jesus' parables end up in a banquet or a feast or a party where the music is so loud and the dancing so loud that you can hear it for miles. May that be our experience, and especially for those of us who need to look at those self-righteous tendencies that are not only keeping us from our brother, from our God, but from ourselves. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this story that we know so well, and yet sometimes it has not quite sunk in. May we take it to heart, this message, and may we know that our righteousness comes from you. You are our one foundation. Let love invade us. May we be befriended by that love. And the holiness that we experience is Christ in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.